Hey guys, listen, do you find yourself lonely and wanting to hear a deep, raspy voice curse at you about silly things? Do you miss some laughs in your life because your really funny boyfriend or girlfriend left you? Why not subscribe to More Mona? Subscribe, not subscribe. Subscribe to More Mona today. It's $6.99. It's $6.99 monthly. It's $59.99 yearly. You get all access to our secret group message where you also get to chat with me at any time. Because once you join the Discord, you say hi to me at 3:42 a.m. I'm on that bitch by 3:43. Hey, girl, what you need? You get bonus content, behind the scenes, all access and first access to all Don't Call Me White Girl podcast merch and Don't Call Me White Girl podcast live show dates. And we are going on tour. That is me. That is Phelps. That is Tom. We out, baby. And Gary coming too, so I don't look too ashy. When we come to your town, that's your opportunity to do meet and greets with Tom and Phelps. Not at my goddamn stand-up show. I'm the star. It's annoying. Demeaning. Stand up! Either way, subscribe to MoreMona.com. Y'all been begging for extra episodes. You get at least 2 episodes per month. All kind of BTS. All access to my phone book, my social security number. You get to see me. You can talk to the kids on the phone. Please, just give me the $6. I need it. Please. All right. It's almost there.
Stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right there.
Don't call me white girl.
That's a real
it's gay
ass
folks.
Shit.
Unpopular opinion. Jail's not that bad. Boom. Pop your shit open and grab that nigga by the head and get the. You know what I'm saying?
There's something about them whispering in my ear, the whole name thing. I like that.
I like a nigga to whisper. What's your cash? That's what's different, and that's why statistically, number wise, not only do we not get the same amount of riches as them, we do not keep it. Nowhere near how long they'll keep it. And we're back. I'm here with my nigga Phelps.
Yo.
We're recording a podcast. How are you, Phelps?
Sleepwalking, but I'm all right.
Niggas is tired. We just did 72 hours of work. We should not be here. This is modern day slavery. They don't feed us. They don't pay us. They don't do nothing. All they do is rip us off and treat us like shit. They work us like dogs. We are coming back off a show in St. Louis, Dallas, Texas, and Houston, Texas, all at the same goddamn time. We did Dallas. My 72 hours. I had a horrible time in the airport because of a past horrible time I had in Atlanta. The
airport's killing me.
I end up stuck in Pittsburgh for hours. I get off the plane. I go to a beautiful girl. I'm going to tell y'all her name, too, because she was such a little sweetie. And I want to say her name because she deserves it. Well, can't find a bitch. So, either way, met a really sweet girl. Sweetest. She does my hair. She gives me a unit. She was really nice. She helped me out, helped me get ready for the show. But this is me off the plane within 5 seconds. Excuse me. Her name is Jada. Charlotte Jada. She's Jada McKenzie on Instagram. If you're down there in the Dallas area, she had gave me a really nice wig, though. She was really cool. But I'm off the plane for 20 minutes. I get the unit done. We do the show. After the show, I think we end up hanging out with the meet and greets always end up longer. I always end up just chilling with people. So I'm just chilling with random people that are my cousins that I don't know, but I know a little bit. And then I wanted to go see my homie Jonathan. Jonathan's from Dallas. So I go to see Jonathan. We chilling. He's in the middle of filming a reality show. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but it looks pretty good. Jonathan says, friend, you want me to do your hair? And I said, fucking right. And I took Jada wig and threw that motherfucker. And then I let Jonathan do my hair. My hair was so cute. It was all these colors, greens. It was just so nice. Shout out to my nigga Jonathan. I love him the bestest. And he could fight. So if you don't like Jonathan, he could beat you up. And then we leave. We go sleep for an hour or two. And then we drive to Houston. We stop at a rest stop called Woody's. Best brisket I ever had in my life. At a gas station, my nigga. Yo, the thing about Texas is when I tell you, like, they have, like their soda selection would be every single soda you've ever had. Even the sodas from when you were a kid. The drinks are like sweet tea, peach mango extra sweet peach mango.
Remember
with
I
extra
told you
mango.
I went to the store, they had the sodas sitting on ice like fish. Dead serious.
Yo, it's like, the place Woody's, the rest stop, they had a fudge counter. They had a lunch meat counter. They had sausage and brisket counter. This is a gas station.
That's usually how it be, though.
In the baked good counter, because I didn't go, but Conehead fat ass went over there, right? Bro, they get cookies and then they say, would you like me to warm them?
What? Oh, yeah, you were sold right there. You were sold.
When Abigail asked me, did I want my sugar cookie warmed? I didn't know how to answer. I slid my big, gnarled, shout out to Cat, fingers, put my hand above her little white hand, gave her two pumps, said, sure, darling. I'd appreciate that. I might have to move to Texas. They going to have to wheel me to appointments and shit, how big I'm going to be after the first 6 months, but I felt great. I'm going to tell y'all the second best part of Texas, besides the snacks and the drinks and shit. But yeah, we make it to Houston. I'm in Houston for all of maybe 5 seconds before I'm laying down, getting the lash appointment, get up from the lash appointment. I do one of my favorite podcasts. I'm so excited. I finally was able to do it. Zion's View. Shout out to Zion. Zion helped me with all the shows, helped me do a lot of work. Zion is that nigga. I do Zion's View. We had a great time. I've been dying to do that podcast. Make sure y'all check it out. I don't know if it's out yet, but whenever it is out, I'll be promoting it. And so y'all can go check it out. Cause a lot of y'all like Zion too. We do a podcast. I leave Zion. I go to get my third wig installed for 48 hours. And I went to Killer Hair. I love him too. I loved him. He does my hair. I end up getting dressed in a gas station, pulling up doing another show where we did another meet and greet. And then we did an after party. Shout out to my nigga Cooley. Cooley pulled up.
Yeah, shout out Cooley.
Cooley bitch pulled up. I think her name Beyonce, Nicki Minaj, or something like that. She gave us a full performance. Like, shout out to my dog, honey. But we had a good time, man. We went to a club called Locker Room. And I took...
That wasn't no club, but it was nice.
It was lit, but listen.
It was a locker room.
Guess what I did? I took 2 shots.
Facts, you did. I was surprised.
Eating better is easier with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. Discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more. And trust, we've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Not to mention, Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, no cooking, and no cleanup needed. Head to factormeals.com/DCMWG50 and use code DCMWG50 to get 50% off. That's code DCMWG50 at factormeals.com/DCMWG50 to get that 50% off today. And Phelps said, you must like these niggas down here. You drunk something. And I turned to Phelps and I said, they all look like cowboys. Everybody had on a hat. It was the rodeo over the weekend.
Rodeo, yep.
A lot of y'all wrote me, why would you come down here doing a rodeo? Bitch, I did, and everybody came but you. We had a good time.
Yeah.
That's on you. You chose 50 Cent over me. I hope you enjoyed yourself. Because that's the same show you getting.
We got horses in Philly. We all right.
So, that was pretty cool. But yeah, that's for the most part why I was drinking, because the men are all real big and rideable. The one guy walked up and he had all his jewelry on, and I think he had grills and shit, and he had a big old cowboy hat. He had to be 6'3". And he's like, you like your time down here in Texas? And I said, are you a real cowboy? He said, if you could ride. Then I fucked him in the bathroom of the bar. I wish. Soon I'll be the whore that I was born to be. I'm just not yet. I said, I do like cowboys. And that was that. And then we left Houston. We got a good sleep that time. We slept for at least 4 hours. And
I did.
And then, do you want to walk down that street, babe? Okay. And then the next day we get up. We barely make it to the airport. We go to St. Louis, right there. Get off. We checked out. What was that market called? I want them to know where we were.
It was City Foundry.
City Foundry Market. Foo Hawk. So cool. Laser tag, sneaker places. I even got this shirt that I already messed up. Yeah. And it was just, you know, it was cool. Honestly, I had and I was really mad at the guy that was selling it to me because they didn't have sour cream. They didn't let me adjust it. I like birria tacos, but I like chicken birria. And traditionally, it's steak, but I like chicken. And he refused to do it. Gave me the steak birria, best steak birria taco I ever had in my life. And they don't even have sour cream because they don't need it.
Yeah.
That thing was crazy. I started to drink that motor oil they served with it. I said, wait a minute. This is getting crazy down here. And while we're all eating and enjoying ourselves, Conehead gets lunch meat and cheese. That's right. Your boy, Boston's own, buys a pound of ham and a pound of American cheese and a loaf of cheap bread. And this nigga made himself a sandwich on his jeans like his jeans was a table.
Zach, we in a place we never been in our life. And this nigga bought cold cuts in the middle of. It's not like he just bought them on the side of the road or we're in a
Reading Terminal of some sort.
Yeah, it was like that.
It
like
was
a St. Louis
Reading Terminal.
It was like St. Louis Reading Terminal, exactly.
I don't know where the fuck I was at.
Every shit, you feel me? All types of shit. Everywhere from Jamaica all the way to France, they got in that joint. You feel me? And this nigga went next door and bought a pound of turkey, a pound of provolone, and some white bread.
And made the sandwich on his jeans. That motherfucker walked around, smart man, Vern said. That motherfucker walking around smelling like a hoagie.
Smelling like cold cuts.
Smell like pastrami, nigga. He come in the section of bitches like, somebody got a charcuterie board?
Charcuterie?
I said charcuterie. How do you say it, y'all?
Charcuterie?
Did somebody bring a charcuterie board in the section? No, it's just Derek jeans. Nothing to be alarmed. Derek killed his sets this weekend, too. Shout out to Derek for killing his sets like he always does. Shout out to Derek for that. Anyway, we have a show at the City Winery. City Winery treated me amazeballs. I want to shout somebody out.
Shout out Big Dog. Yeah, what's her name?
Hold on, I got her name because that's my new friend. Her name is...
Number One Stunner.
Wow. Ashley.
Shout out Ashley. St. Louis City Winery.
Is that the name for sure?
I don't know.
I hope it is, but she had a badass bob, and she was so good to me, so kind to me. She took great care of me. I had a great time at City Winery, St. Louis.
She wear the glasses and the good Doc Martens.
Glasses, cute Doc Martin boots, cute bob, really sweet,
very
kind.
Great host, yeah.
She was a great host. They treated us really well at City Winery, St. Louis. And the crowd was amazing. Shout out to y'all. All my cousins in STL were lit.
That crowd was husky too. Boy. Yeah. When I came out, that's a goddamn all these niggas.
That was a lit show. Y'all were so kind, so loving. Yeah. Like, I really enjoyed being able to spend like time with y'all
very
and
receptive.
Talk to everybody. And so, yeah, we had a good time. We did the after party at a club called Shisha. Shisha was lit. Lights on.
Yeah.
I don't really like fucking with the lights on.
Is that dangerous?
Lights was on, but Shisha was lit. Shisha was definitely lit, and the food was good. But, like, the light on thing, me and Phelps like, cut these lights off, baby.
Yeah.
We trying to finger pop somebody in this section.
You feel me?
I can't finger pop this girl after she bring this bottle with these lights on in good faith.
Can't grab nothing on. You know what I mean? The lights, I look crazy.
You feel me? Come on now. The DJ started to harass me after I was there for about an hour and a half. He's like, come over here. Why you being weird to me? I got over there and said, nigga, I'm high. I'm 50 years old. 6 blunts in. Third day of a 72-hour run. This is the 72nd hour. And you talking about walk over here, don't be weird to me. Nigga, you lucky I made it over here. I started to crawl over this bitch like in my favorite movie. What's my favorite movie? Wolf of Wall Street. Remember he crawled out that motherfucking sports car?
Yeah.
That's how I started to walk to that DJ booth because he kept calling my fucking name. DJ, stop doing that to me when y'all see me in the club. Thumb in the butt! Thumb in the butt! I don't want to hear it. I'm grown. I said that shit years ago. I should not be forced to hear that shit. And stop playing my lives in the club. Y'all getting weird with that too. You start to notice that? They'll play like a random live and me just talking about politics and shit. Like, what the fuck? Y'all scrolling through Instagram when you see me? No. 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 If anything, say, hey, white girl in here, Cash App DCMWG. If you want that pussy, she right here. Stop playing with it.
Or and you know what too? Or not even that. Why don't it, after that the DJ could literally just send somebody and be like, "Yo, what you want to hear? Like, I, you feel me on me? I just play some songs you want to hear."
Me and Phelps were not pleased with the R&B in the club. We're not a fan of it. Please, let me tell you, and we stop. We old.
Yeah.
So with us, when we hear the song, we straight start looking for shit because that usually means get out. So as soon as you hit that Trey Songz, you feel me?
Yeah.
Now I'm packing my pocket, make sure I got my shit on me. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at the X's and shit. Because usually in our day, they played the slow music when to get us the fuck up out of here.
Exactly.
You niggas being lazy throwing these TikTok. You know what I mean? Like, come on, my nigga. Come on. This was a good gift. Zach asked me before we started, what was my best gift I've gotten on tour? This was a really good gift. Somebody bought me, well, my baby bought me. It's a guy. He's very handsome. He's from Dallas. And this came right in handy because I lost all my lip gloss. But another girl, a white girl with a big old fat ass, bought me a bra, and I lost my bra somewhere. So I was like, thanks, bitch. These titties needed that. So thank you, Big Booty Judy. I don't remember exactly what your name. The white girl with the big old fat ass in Houston. What's her name?
She got a following on Instagram.
She has a huge following on Instagram. She that bitch. Her name just escapes me right now, but she know who she is. I fuck with you. I fuck with all y'all. It's crazy. It was two St. Louis bitches at the Dallas show, and they talked so much shit. Oh, that shit was funny. This suck. What the fuck you doing here? You ain't got no business. Why you just standing here with us? You supposed to be famous. Why the fuck you over here? She said, you go to St. Louis, they going to turn you up. Because we real bitches. I said, y'all bitches are like scammers. She said, yeah, we are. We cracking cars. You need a flight? I said, hell yeah. What's your Cash App, bitch?
St. Okay. Louis, when I was out there, it definitely felt weird. Like, at any moment, something could happen, but it never. Like, it definitely felt like the whole shit is on eggshells. Like, that's just. Yeah. You feel me?
Yeah. What I noticed about St. Louis is the separation. Like, the people with stuff are so far away from people without stuff. That's what it felt like there. Like, the area we was in was, like, so, like, white. You know what I mean? Like, it was no niggas. And then every time I seen a nigga, they was like, we about to go see you.
Yeah.
Like, they was only
to
come see me. So, yeah. But not doing that again. 72 hours straight like that. That wasn't a good idea. My knees, like, they keep creaking, making this weird noise. Yeah.
It just be hard afterwards, man. I'm just...
It's rough.
I need like a day and a half, 2 days to get back every time.
We damn sure don't need to be looking at each other this fast. We should have already had a break. And let me tell you something. We ain't fight at all. We did real good, right?
Word, we did.
I did all my fighting with Derek. But what I will say is that me and Phelps let a white girl play with us on this flight. And if we ever see you again, you done. Because you got a pass from two psychos, baby. We done. Phelps said, if this bitch don't leave me alone, tell Joe Dirt to get the fuck out my face. That bitch came to the back and said, I don't appreciate you guys' attitude.
Word.
You can sit in the back. This bitch put us in the back.
And Mona ain't say nothing. It was me that whole time. Mona wasn't doing nothing.
I tried so hard. And then she tried to move me. She fat shamed me. Because clearly my seatbelt was broke because I could fit the seatbelt. I'm big as shit. That motherfucker was like, ugh. Mind you, I don't even wear seatbelts on planes. I always play it off and just lay it on my lap, but I'm big as shit now. So when I lay it, that motherfucker lay like that, and it's like that space between, so she knew. So I said, I can't do it. Like, I did a whole fag. I can't. She was like, go
but
to the
burn,
back.
Burn.
But it's the weird part. We go to the back. I put the safe, the next one on. It's tight as fuck. It's like that one. And then she comes with an extender.
With the extension.
You are trying to embarrass me in front of my man. Here she go. Are y'all a couple?
But the whole time, it was the seats that was giving you trouble. They had the things on the side. Like, you know how you sit on a plane, it's open, then it just got the bar. This joint had the whole dividing between each seat. So she really, you know, them hips, you know, them joints. You know when you put the biscuit in the can, you feel me?
Did you just call me a can of biscuit? You got it.
Niggas out there know, like, you feel me? That's a good
I am. I do look like a can of biscuits. Let's just call a spade a spade. Nah, but they, like... no, but Joe Dirt, if we ever see you again, it's up for you. Because there's no way you could punk both of us at the same time. Yo, it's crazy, crazy. And I'm famous, so a couple of the black people that were sitting up the front, they just wrote me that all the stuff you were saying about me when I went to the back and how you was laughing with the white people you put in my seat. I caught you.
It's Fat Lana from Delta. We on your ass.
I caught you, Joe Dirt.
And yo, listen, I know y'all, these airline niggas be doing their job, but you know what? This our little job we be doing. I'm about to start doing my job on y'all niggas. Pictures, harassment, all that. Because they
do too much. Like, really. Listen, y'all, I got to tell y'all something. Beanie Siegel was having like a birthday show, a 50-something Allen Mercy. I got to go.
Word.
I he got to go. I don't know. I don't care. But every time he posts it, it just gets me super excited. I'm a huge Beanie Siegel fan. The show is March 8th at the Met in Philadelphia. I want to be on stage. Fuck sitting down in the damn thing. And I want the mic. I don't know how that's going to work.
March 8th, that's Friday.
That's my favorite rapper, and I got a babysitter. It's lit. I'm going. I don't give a fuck. Y'all let me in that shit. Yeah. Hot wire hanger. Push it in your ass crack. It ain't hard for you to get stuck, money, especially when a nigga down and I'm... No. Especially when a nigga down and you up, money, because I put a couple of slugs in your gut, money, for a couple of pies and new truck, money. Pussies get fucked, money. What you expect? I'll fuck that shit up.
I can't spit my favorite beans on here.
Spit it.
You get mad.
I do? Why? Is it the thick Muslim at Kaffin?
No.
What?
Fuck a speculation talk over.
Oh, okay. Jada, this.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
That's great.
And I love Kiss. But I just, the way he went on that. Is...
Y'all ain't Beanie fans. Look, he posts this of the whole crowd rapping this. Wait a minute, hold up. What?
Yeah, I ain't.
I'm gonna lose my fucking mind when this come on. For getting money, niggas. You was only known for getting other niggas' money, nigga. We throw that shit on. Y'all a bunch of bummy niggas. Putting on army fatigue. I might find some Rockaware.
Then keep it a buck, though. Like
I'm on that.
But wait, at his birthday party, is he going to like really go in though? Or
nah,
is he just
this
be
is the Met. This is a show. I don't even know if this is, it is his birthday, but I feel like this
You're
is
saying
the,
it's a show, but it's his birthday celebration.
No, it's a show, but it's the 50th anniversary to something. So I don't know if it's to him or to like something that he dropped. But it's it. This is my kind
the
of show.
The only thing that could be 50 years old in
So he's turning 50.
It got to be. What else?
He's turning 50. And it might be anniversary for one of them albums or something. But I'm excited. Look at the kind of promo he doing. He picking up midgets and shit. Beanie ain't playing.
Yeah. He wants people to come out.
Listen, I'm on it. We should all go as a family.
I'm with it.
So work on tickets now. Anyway, I love when we have personal convos on a podcast and pretend like it's a topic. No, we just had to chat about that. Boop, boop. Hold on. Somebody, I wanted to shout out to the state trooper in Philadelphia that beat up somebody to work for the mayor's office. Sucks to be you. You fucked up. And the person that worked for the mayor is literally like the liaison for gay rights. It's something that she already on that.
Dummy.
You are in trouble, Trevor. You ain't gonna get out of this shiny boot. I hope you lose your job, you white fuck. I hope your bitch leave after that. Yeah, but he's being totally aggressive with somebody that's not being aggressive. Regular old cop shit. Shout out to you, you fucking pig.
Hold that.
Anyway, so yeah, I wanted to shout him out, and then let me make sure I'm not missing anything. I didn't. If y'all want to talk about Bad Girls, I haven't catched Bad Girls in a while. Sometimes I got to take a little bit of breaks off of that. But they got Bad versus Vild or something. Zeus came out with a show called Bad versus Wild. And it was basically different shows versus different shows. Because they always act like it's this invisible beef between Jocelyn and Natalie in regards to who got Zeus popping. Jocelyn's shows were there first, but Natalie's shows are huge. So that, you know, Jocelyn's are huge too, but Natalie's are really, really big or whatever. What I paid attention to was my bitch Thunder Girl exposed Natalie kissing a nigga in the mouth. They keep playing with Thunder Girl. She ain't the one. I didn't watch Thunder Girl pull up to Rumble at the bitch say, yo, catch me at Zeus. She pulled right on up with her people. And they sent security, six security on her. And they've been doing shit to her. I guess the guy that owns Zeus he has hackers and shit. They getting a TikTok deleted, getting this deleted, that deleted. Every time they play with her, she up it. Stunner Girl is not to be fucked with. But yeah, Natalie been married for years. Stunner Girl uploaded her putting her lips on another man, like kissing this nigga in the mouth. And you could tell it was one of them kisses, like she paid that nigga, because it was like she was looking at him like, you feel me? Yeah, so it's what we already thought. They got that type of marriage where like she bringing home the bacon. He probably live his life. Natalie's annoying as shit. Like, yeah. I'm sure he only sees her once or twice a month. Like, how could he see her more than that? But she exposed it. Stunner Girl exposed that shit. Stunner Girl been exposing shit about them forever. It's so crazy. When me and Stunner Girl first met, some of the conversations that we had is all the stuff that she ended up exposing. You know what I mean? So, I feel like you knock on the devil door. You know, you can't bully everybody. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah, but you know, they, I don't know why they keep playing with Thunder Girl, man. I would, whatever the fuck the issue is, I would let it go. Go see, you can't bully everybody. That little bitch is not bullyable. She about 4'11" and she's all heart. So yeah, but that was wild though. That was wild because that it, you know when you popping shit and you make a motherfucker make an announcement, that's when you got some shit done. You feel me? When it's a press conference got to be had after you pop some shit, then you know you done said some shit. I feel like that was kind of the response to, that was the kind of response to, what the hell is this? That's crazy. But yeah, that was kind of the response to Cat Williams' interview. I feel like it shook the table like that. People was just chatting after it, chatting. Like they feel like responsibility, like they had to say something.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick. I watched the Wendy Williams documentary. Hard to watch. Horrible. Like, it's so bad because the kind of woman she is and the kind of control she's had over her career, her image and stuff. So for her to be kind of out of her mind and people just filming her and working with her, it was rough. Wendy Williams really gave, like, everything she was doing by day, people that work for her, help her with stuff or whatever, like, she does not fucking know them. They're all new. So it's like, And it just seemed like every time somebody tried to act, oh, that's just Wendy, it just seemed fake. You know what I mean? The guy that was in charge, he just comes off like just money hungry. You know, I don't know if the brother is or not. I don't really know, but that's how he come across. At one point, they fixing his frame like they do me. And he like, hold up, I got to look like money. And he literally has like a printed Dior hat, printed Dior shirt, printed. You know, like you just, you know, them niggas, they first check, they get the Gucci leg top to bottom with the keychain.
Yeah, mannequin, yeah.
Like, bro, you just giving. And he give like he used to be cut up, but now he fat. Like that shape, nigga. You feel me? Like the cut up, not cut up and you gained a little bit, cut up and you fat now. So it's like you thick as shit, but you soft. Like you a thick, soft nigga. Like you got the build, like you muscly, but you soft as a motherfucker. You real cuttable. You cuddle. You a big cuddle, like a big snuggle bear, nigga. Like, you still got the frame, like, but it's all fat pockets. It's no muscle. That's what he got. No disrespect. I'm all fat, bro. I can't disrespect. At least you used to work out at some point. I could tell by your shoulder, neck, ear ratio. But yeah, so it was rough to watch. This is what I will say. Let's make this clear. I crack jokes about Wendy Williams, whatever. Wendy Williams was a rough bitch. She had thick skin, you know. She has thick skin, especially her feet. But she suffers from lymphedema. I probably ain't say that right, but it's something with an L and it's rough. But she is like that. She's just like that person, you know, like, I don't know. Like for me, like she just always like, was a part of my life just from being on the radio all the time and just coming up or whatever. She never gave like black women trying to bring other black women up and supportive and, you know, she never gave that. That's why it was so weird, the Black China scene. Black China comes to visit her, explains how they had this great relationship since, you know, her coming on the show. Mind you, I'm sure Wendy used to drag the fuck out of Black China. That's how Wendy is, you know. But she's like, I love her. And she literally is like, my name is Wendy Williams. She don't know who the fuck you are, Black China. You could have been the bitch with the Uber Eats. She'd had the same convo with you.
Oh, it was like that. It was the convo. Look.
She's out of her fucking mind.
It felt like,
mind,
like automated.
It, no, it looked like she don't know what the fuck is going on from 1 hour to the next.
Yeah.
And the whole documentary is like her getting ready back for TV, but she should not be on television.
Yeah.
That frontal lobe dementia issue that she had, it is fucking with her speech, with her memory. She'll be in the middle of something and she don't know where she is.
Yeah.
She could. Let me tell you something else. I want to explain this fully. I grew up with a lot of medical people in my life, like nurses. My mother's been an LPN for 30 years. Her mother's been an LPN for 30 years. My grandmother's sisters and her nieces were all CNAs. Most of them all worked in geriatrics, so they all worked in the old folks' home. It was a total normalcy for me to be on the phone with the older person with dementia or Alzheimer's because my mom or my grandma were tired of me calling a job, and they just get his phone to Miss Susie, and Miss Susie would pick up, Tim, where are you? Pick me up. I'm in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So I've had those kind of conversations. My uncle Bum died of Alzheimer's. And he was really like rough, violent towards the end or whatever. Didn't really know who nobody was or whatever. I always say that's like one of my biggest fears, is to have to deal with that with a parent or myself or whatever. But one thing that I know about dementia, Alzheimer's, things like that, is whatever you did in your life, like the kind of person you are, that shit will still shine through the delusion shit. Example, Tiny, T.I.'s wife, she used to have a reality show. Her father was on it with her. Her father grew up in like a quartet. He did R&B singing and stuff. This nigga barely talked, didn't know what was going on. When they would play his tape, this motherfucker would get in and do a full performance.
Mm-hmm.
Like this. Boop, bop. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the most lucid he was in his day.
Yeah.
If you played that fucking music, because he remembered.
Yeah.
I remember hearing stories. I remember being at the nursing home with my grandmother and a guy revving his wheelchair and rolling over her feet on purpose. And I remember thinking, she gonna get you back for that. I know my grandma. Mm-hmm. I know that bitch. Like, I know my grandma. Like, my grandma was subtle with it. Like, that's really a lie, but I'd rather say it like that. And, like, little stuff like, she feeding you, and instead of a plastic spoon, it's a metal, and then she dragged that motherfucker on the roof of your... So every time you eat oatmeal, she scraped your motherfucking tongue from when you ran her feet over when her granddaughter was up there. But nigger was like, you know, if you were a racist guy and now you live in this fucking home because your family, maybe it's government assistant, it's all black employees, you on the other side of town, you surrounded by niggers, you gonna call them niggers sometime.
Yeah.
Get off me, nigger. What are you doing in here, nigger?
Yeah.
Don't steal my stuff, nigger.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. The rapey guy that had a bunch of kids, bunch of wives, bunch of, they still in there pinching ass, pinching titty, fucking other residents. What rang true with Wendy throughout the whole documentary is she was nasty as fuck to the people that worked for her.
Mm-hmm.
She told the driver, you're just a driver, shut up, you do your job, driver, and just drive. After she had him go around the same block 5 or 6 times because she was confused where she was.
Yeah.
She told the girl working for her, and this went viral now, you need to get liposuction. She just blurted it out. She told that bitch, go downstairs, order some lunch, or order something that'll get you fatter. She is still the same judgmental, mean, not friendly bitch that she always was in her life. It shines through. So the fact that people are like, I keep seeing people, have some type of like compassion for her, whatever. I have compassion for her, but I'm gonna carry it just like she would if she was disgusting me.
Yeah.
Wow, Damona's big as shit. She got dementia. That's what she would be saying. So what the fuck? But yeah, as much as I felt bad, I wanted to cry, just seeing her look like a victim, like she needed help and stuff. She would just say some really nasty shit
and
to the help. And it would just remind me, this is who you are, bitch. This is who you've always been. A nasty bitch.
Yeah.
It sucks, though, about her family and her son being apart. It's like they got some shit where the son's totally taken out. They tried to make... It makes sense watching it, why the bank got involved, why the bank said stop. Because if she's that loopy, imagine how loopy she's being over the phone or on the internet with her cards and shit. So, them stepping in, trying to get the money in order, it's a safety precaution for sure because she's losing it. So we got to figure out what's next. And if her husband wasn't such a sack of shit, loser, greedy piece of shit, you could have been the one doing everything. And then the bitch would check and you could have your money and had your side bitch and did it the respectful way like other people did it. But you rather do it the way you do it and get that bald head bitch pregnant and then you out on the street living in a fucking apartment begging for somebody to interview your black ass. We don't want to talk to you, Kevin. Don't nobody give a fuck. You used to sell pounds 10 years ago. Nigga, fuck you. Bitch ass nigga. Anyway, let's move on. Where am I at? It's 3:20. How many? Where are we at? Are we doing a sub or not? You want to? All right.
You can't stop Bergen.
A lot of y'all was reaching out to me. Jess Larry's on a Breakfast Club, and she said she was explaining the situation. She has that Jess Larry's and T.S. Madison have a stupid beef, in my opinion, going back and forth. And it's stupid because I'm a firm believer in that us arguing with stupid shit like who we fuck, what we do, how we dress, what we want to be called is a waste of time. There was a time back in the day, right, where black people had to sit in the back of the bus, and then they got together. And they didn't get on the bus, and then they changed things. So from that, I know that together, united, we can get shit done. But separated, all we're going to do is fight, and it's mm-hmm. going to take it longer. That's the reason why, because if you watch the clip, if you hear what she says, oh, don't have Damona call me. That's what happened. I called her for T.S. Madison because they were having words at that time. That's when the big, big convo about we can't gatekeep periods. That was the thing, right? And it was a mess. It was big. It was large. It was stupid. It was just like, it was nastiness being said. It was too much. So when Maddie calls me and says, look, call her. This is going too far. Of course, I'll say yes. Did I want to make the call? Fuck no. Because just the Philly in me, I don't want no parts. I ain't got nothing to do with me. Yeah. But I'm going to make the call because I'm a black woman. And I feel like we don't have, it's getting too like misconstrued at this point. But I also, in my heart, knew that when I called, that Jess would say, fuck no. And that's exactly what she said, fuck no, I'm not doing that. Like, absolutely not type vibe. I ain't debate. I said, okay, sorry to bother you, boo boo. Sent the message back to Maddie and left it there. Why now is it being mentioned a year later? I don't fucking know. You know, because it's like, for me, look at my intention. You know, I'm trying to do the right thing. So don't put me in the light of anything negative because I'm coming on some positive shit. It's like, and then the one thing about the line that was confusing for me is she says, that's the, don't call no white girl, don't call Damona, that's not my friend. So if Maddie would have called a friend, would that have made any difference?
Yeah.
Like if a friend was bringing it to you, listen, this person doesn't want to fight with you in the media anymore, they want to squash it, can we squash it, can we figure it out, is it, can you take the message better from a friend? Like, you know, I don't really know. I'm going to get more into it on the sub episode. You should subscribe to More Mona. I really think you want to hear what I have to say about this. But don't fret. Me and Jess Larry's are not friends, and that's okay. But subscribe to MoreMona.com. God damn it. Jess should too. She should too. Okay, it's going to be a good joint. I'll even tell you what Phelps had to say about, because Phelps don't say much. Phelps don't give a fuck about much. Phelps is a man. He don't care.
Tell him wait till they come to this up.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I'm in the middle of saying. I'll even share with Phelps. Phelps had something to say, like, I didn't have to call him and tell him and give me an opinion. He said something to me, like, oh, what? This is how I feel about da-da-da-da. And I was like, damn, Phelps, bars. You feel me? But I'll share all that on a sub-episode. All the rest of my cousins, I love y'all to death, but don't fret. At the end of the day, friendship is a really strong word, and you shouldn't use it loosely. But you at home, you need to pay attention. And if something feels like to you, like it's messy or mean or nasty, or it's getting a little round, like they're trying to say something or tell you something without having the balls to call the number that they have for you, then you take that message loud and clear. Now, the way you respond to it, that's up to you. But you fucking keep your ears open and your eyes open, because you have to do that in 2024, because people don't put an ad on it no more. People are not direct with it no more, right? Because you know, I mean, Phelps, I say shit sometimes to people, you look, some of my Phelps would just laugh. I'll be dead serious. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get it over with now, let you know what it is now, instead of, you know, keep playing with you or whatever, especially if I don't have any love for you. Like, you going to get it as blunt as you going to get it. But yeah, so for y'all, like, in your lives at home and shit, don't be like too flying above and unbothered that you're not catching the drift somebody's laying for you. Like, pay attention. You know what I mean? But subscribe to Mormon. It's gonna be a blast. It's gonna be a fucking blast. I got a DM real quick. I'm gonna do the dark side of the DM. Damn, it's so many of these motherfuckers, but I want one in particular. Okay. So, Mona, here's my dark side of the DM. I'm recently single from leaving my baby dad, and our daughter's about to be one this month. I ran across a guy who has interest in me, but he gets off on women walking. No, he gets off on women treating him like a dog. So I specifically asked him, what does this mean? Cheating on you and cussing you out? He said, exactly. Now, I don't mind doing this shit because he finna be giving me some money and I don't plan on having sex with him. But he talk about giving me a key to his apartment. If I become the bitch he really want me to be, it's going to be my apartment. But I'm just thinking about my daughter. What are your thoughts? I think that your daughter shouldn't have anything to do with this because this is like a kink. And I don't even think you're ready for what he really want. He just don't want to say it to you. He wants you to kick him in the balls. Now, listen. I know it sounds a little funny, but back in the day, at least 20, 30 years ago, when I was like 8, I sold drugs. You know what I mean? And I remember selling drugs, and I did a deal for somebody, and I had to find him prostitutes. The prostitutes called from the room when I had them all set up, and she was like, look, this nigga freaking me out. He don't want here. He don't want to fuck. He just wants me to keep stepping on his balls. And I was like, honestly, I was like 19, 20. I'm like, what you mean stepping his balls? She like, bitch, like step, like hurt him, like crunch him. Like he wants us to kick him in his nose and step on his balls or whatever. And I'm like, bitch, get that money. Like get that pussy a rest.
Right.
You should be excited. You feel me? They were so freaked out. They didn't even last the hour. I was so mad at them bitches. I had to find new bitches and get lotion. It got crazy. But you, my dear, have stepped into that. Not only does he want you kicking him in the nuts, he might want you to go ahead and put that finger or dick up his ass. Now, if you ready for that, get that money, because you could charge him a lot for that. But your daughter shouldn't be in this equation. She should not meet this nigga. If you get a key to the apartment, that's for you to set up in there, do some push-ups and shit, because he wants you to punch him in his motherfucking mouth. It's not for you to bring your daughter in her sippy cup. Keep your baby out of that. This is freaky. In fact, this is probably your intro to prostitution, which nothing. It's the oldest hustle, and your grandmother did it. Do what you got to do. Get that paper. I can tell you need it behind you typed. I love you. Keep your baby away from that nigga. He's a freak. Anything to add, Phelps? We got a voicemail, too. Give me a second.
Man. I just been thinking about my bed. I ain't going to lie. I just want to smoke and lay down. No disrespect.
Don't tell them people this. Excuse me. Zach wanted to add that Wendy Williams' care team announced that she has been diagnosed with primary progressive aphasia and frontotemporal. I don't know how to say this. Frontotemporal dementia. I was talking about Wendy Williams the other day, and every time I said Alzheimer's, she would yell, she has frontotemporal dementia. And I wanted to say, bitch, did I ask you? Be quiet. My mother be getting on my nerves all spring. Oh, no, where are we at? Winter. Tired of that nigga with them green ass eyes. Serpent. The other day we was debating. I said serpent. She said, what you say? I said serpent. Oh, who the fuck idea was that? I gotta get the fuck up out of there.
Shout out my baby.
Shout out to my cousins. Oh, I love y'all so much. The best part of this fucking tour, hands down, was meet and greet. Droop came out through and gave me and got me a jersey, a Cardinals jersey with my name on it. Then we hung with him all night and he kept rolling up cigarillos. Droop, please. Why are you embarrassing me? We don't smoke shit like that. We smoke papers, nigga. I love you, boy. Thank you for coming. All right, I'm going to do the voicemail. Y'all ready?
Hey, Mona. This is Valerie. I was just wondering, I know you say you used to be a booster and you worked at a Mexican fast food place. I was just wondering, like, about the rest of the podcast, too. What did y'all do before this podcast? I know Phelps went to college. What did he study? And Tom, what did you do? Thank you. Love y'all.
This
Bye.
Is funny as shit. So she says, Damone, I know you said you used to be a booster and you worked at a Mexican restaurant. It's so funny that y'all remember certain stuff. Honestly, the Mexican restaurant was for sure, I believe, no, I'm lying. But that was like the last job I had, real job I had, almost last job. I worked in King of Prussia for like 4 weeks before they fired me. Because I started this Black Lives Matter conversation because it was only one black employee. And he was like a supervisor. And he was in there talking about, oh, yeah, we need the dads in the house in the ghettos. That's what's wrong. You keep blaming the white man. You really need the dads. I heard that nigga talk like that for all them white people. My head almost spent off my goddamn shoulders. And I walked over there and gave that nigga a speech about systematic oppression. Yeah. And about how the dads left the motherfucking houses starting all the way back to slavery, damn near all the way into when they was giving project houses out and your man couldn't stay there. Mm-hmm. You struggling, everybody struggling, but your man still coming home, bringing home the bacon, but he got to go. We got the hottest boots every time the caseworker come here so we can get these $3 in food stamps. So I had to break it down to that fat black fuck, and I was fired the day after. I ain't cussing nothing. I just told him facts. They said, get up out of here, Angela Davis. Anyway, the question was, what were you doing before the podcast? I'm going to let Phelps do his own question. But when you asked me, you said, I know you said you used to work at a Mexican restaurant and you was a booster. What were you doing before the podcast? Bitch, I was boosting. I said that. You think it's a joke?
So she want to know what I was doing for the podcast, too?
What were you doing before the podcast?
I was teaching math a little bit, and then...
Yo, you did. You was a cheap math.
And then
okay.
I quit that, and then I got outside with Quadi.
I'm about to say you were also a producer forever.
That's what I said. That's the Quadi thing. That's me going outside with Quadi. That's when it started, though. Like, that's when it got serious for me. Like,
What about Walt? What about all the shit you and Walt did? That's not... has nothing to do with Quadi. So I would rather say I was producing music.
Okay.
Because you have 1,000 artists, you dummies. But yeah. I'll do it. But he was teaching math and being a fucking producer and making really fire records for a lot of people. I just said records. God help me. What is happening to me?
Nah, you right.
He was a producer producing shit. He also was managing Quadi in some kind of way. He still works with Quadi. Mm-hmm. Quad Diesel, friend of the podcast. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
You're missing other stuff. Phelps don't care or remember.
I'm sleepy.
And what was Tom doing? Tom worked for TSA. Tom has been doing this forever. So even whether he worked at TSA or not, he was doing this. Tom worked with Fendi Fab's manager, and he actually produced Fendi did a podcast, literally, I think maybe one episode, and Tom produced it, and the guest was Nicki Minaj.
Yeah,
Tom also worked for Gossip of the City for some years, which is
Wallow
a huge blog. He helped with Million Dollars Worth of Game a little bit when they was first like trying to figure stuff out.
Helped you when you with your first joint.
Tom put me on his podcast. Tom had his own podcast called Literally Speaking for a while, and he has tapped in with Tom. That's not over. But yeah, Tom got a lot going on. We'd be here all day talking Tom shit. But yeah, as far as me, I was boosting. Allegedly. Why the fuck would you ask that? Are you a cop or is your father a cop? Don't watch the podcast anymore. You're not welcome here. Matter of fact, the person that said that, you inbox me a picture of you with no shirt on. Make sure you ain't got no wire on. You can keep your bra on, but I want to see your chest. I love you guys at home. Let's manifest. I'm gonna keep manifesting a healthy lifestyle until I actually do it. But what I will tell you is, this is water. And stop being in the comments saying, oh, she look high. Baby, I am. I start my day early with it. I don't know why the fuck y'all walking around sober. Sucks to be you, bitch. Because we about to get sober. High right goddamn now.
Oh, that Starbucks, they ain't sober.
Shout out to my baby. I love him so much. This shirt was $100. Uzi know, did he get any of it? I'll be messaging him about it. Free Thug. Free Kyra too, man. I'm going to tell y'all about my friend Kyra soon because it's crazy. It's a big misjustice going on in upstate Pennsylvania. Upstate Pennsylvania has been compared to like the shithole. Like a shithole. Really, it's really, Philadelphia should be like what you call it. And then Pennsylvania is like a shithole next to it.
Upstate Pennsylvania to me is like the Midwest. It's not like...
it's racist.
Yeah.
It's more like Alabama. I love you guys. Make sure you tune in. Subscribe to moremodeling.com if you ever were. Make sure you subscribe now. I love y'all.